All right, question this morning. Are you a follower of Christ? Say, well, of course, you know, I have a Bible, I'm in church. Of course I'm a follower of Christ. I got the t-shirt. It says, I love Jesus on my shirt. I got bumper stickers. We got plaques all over our house. No, let me ask you the question. Are you a follower of Christ? It is one thing to be around Christian things. It is another for you to choose to follow Christ. Now, as I said in the bulletin this morning, following someone you can't see is a little bit difficult. That's why it's so imperative, and we'll talk about this towards the end of the message, how imperative it is that we have a real relationship with the Lord, that He can lead us. But the question comes back, are you a follower of Christ? What does it mean to follow? Well, it means to not be in the lead. No follower can lead. A follower gets behind the person who is leading to let another dictate which way to go. To go after or go behind. Can I ask you to just evaluate your life for a moment? In light of Christ, are you letting another dictate which way your life should go? That will answer the question, are you a follower of Christ? If I'm making all the decisions, well, then I'm not a follower. If I'm dictating what I do and how I conduct myself and what I want, then I'm not a follower. For to be a follower of Christ, I'm going to have to allow Christ to lead my life. Following Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 8 this morning. Turn me down just a little bit. Thank you. I am so excited about our furnace getting worked on. At the same time, we're going to have the air conditioning looked at because we're about there. We were downtown yesterday. We had 20 young people go downtown to the regional transit center and pass out tracts for a cold 45 minutes. And man, there were some good conversations. There was a lot of tracts that got out. I think we broke up a couple deals going on. I don't know. They didn't want to stand on the same corner as the people asking them about Jesus. So there we were. And we had a good time about that. One lady was standing inside, and she asked the worker, what's the temperature out? He said, bitter cold. She goes, do you know when it's going to warm up? He said, August. And I felt those were true sayings. Following Christ. Let's look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, look at what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, the Bible says, great multitudes followed him. The world will have you believe that no one's following Christ anymore. That's a thing of the past. No, there is a better way to go, and it's called humanism. Now, they won't call it humanism. But the world will teach you what is most important is what pleases you. They'll convince you, no, the ways of the Bible are old ways. No one's doing it anymore. Those things, we are more refined now. We're more educated. We know more about society. We know what's best for people. And the Bible says, no, there was a great multitude following him. I'm here to report to you this morning, there is a great multitude following Christ. You are not alone. It's amazing as we go throughout our day, and the more outspoken we are for Christ, it's amazing how many more followers come out of the woodwork. Maybe you're at your workplace, and you're new there, and whatever, and you bring your Bible in. Or maybe at lunchtime, you read your Bible, you go out and get your Bible, and maybe you don't talk like everybody else. Maybe you love your family, and you speak well of your wife, or your husband, or your children, and you talk about church on Sunday. All of a sudden, people start gravitating to you. All of a sudden you'll find out that this person's a Christian. There's a lot more Christians out there than the world will have you believe. Hey, understand this. When we're with the Lord and we're following Christ, we are always in the majority. Isn't that good to know? Why? Because we are on God's side. And here, what do we see? A great multitude followed Christ. Why would they follow Christ? He was homeless. He had no money. Didn't have the finest of clothes. No crown. Didn't even bring his own food. Why? Well, let's look at John chapter 1. Why follow Christ? Why coming out of the mountain was a great multitude with him? Well, in John chapter 1 and verse 37, I love these words. And two disciples heard him speak. I like to survey our students, and I would ask them questions. Now it's to the young adults, and I'll ask them questions, and maybe what's your favorite this or what's your favorite that. If you could, and if I had one wish, I sure would love to hear the audible voice of God talk. I sure would love to be like in John 1:37, and the two disciples heard him speak. Listening to him speak, what does the Bible say? And they followed him. What was he saying? What was he giving recipes for apple pie? Was he explaining how to properly latch your sandal in the wilderness? Was he explaining the times and seasons? No, I have a feeling the teachings of Christ were much different than that. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, it says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What is it that Christ taught? Taught us to love the Lord. Taught us to love others. Taught us to forgive even our enemies. Taught us to love our enemies. And those teachings, as he would teach those things, just listening to him, the Bible says that people followed. They followed because he was a great teacher. Look at this, Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to try not to get ahead of myself, but why do you follow Christ? Why do you drag your family out of bed on Sunday mornings? Oh, we were talking about this morning, or a little bit today. Saturday morning, my son gets up at 6:30. Sunday morning, I have to drag him out of bed. I don't know why that is. Why am I arguing with you about getting up when Saturday morning I'm taping you back into your bed? Why is that? I don't know. Why do we do this? Why do we read the scriptures? Why do we study his teachings? Has it not impacted us? Has it not given us direction in our life? Have we not proven the things of God by his teachings? Has anybody claimed God at his promises and said, that was a failure? Has anyone done what Christ has taught them in loving their enemies? Has anyone forgiven someone and said, man, I wish I held that grudge a little bit longer? Anybody? Anybody taken the teachings of Christ, made personal application and said, that was a mistake? No. I was talking with my son a little bit last week, about the foolishness of evolution. And what a hypothesis actually means, and what a theory actually means, and how it's taken and twisted, and how the author didn't even believe some of the things that he said. That's something that you'll regret. But has anyone taken the teachings of Christ and said, that didn't work here? Is there a place in this world that the teachings of Christ don't work? No. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, the Bible said he withdrew himself from thence and great multitudes followed him. Look at this. And he healed them all. He healed them all. How many of us have come to Christ broken and he's healed us all? The only difficulties I have in my life are because of my own wrongdoing, not because I aligned with the Word of God. No, I've been healed by the Lord. I had a problem. I had a sin sickness. And he's healed us all. Has anyone come to Christ so a mess and he said, I'm sorry, there's no help for your case? No one. Why does he have so many followers? Because he can heal them all. Isn't that good to know that as we follow the Lord, there's no one that we don't have to worry about. Anybody, maybe a doctor or a recommendation like that, and I had a similar problem, and this doctor helped me. And then you go to that doctor with a similar problem, and they say, I'm sorry, your case is different, I can't help you. Anybody get turned away from one doctor to another, and I'm sorry, there's no help for you here. Poor Grandpa Haight, they have a hard time figuring out what's going on with him. Years ago, he had real bad cancer, and man, they told him, I'm sorry, you have an inoperable tumor. I'm sorry, we can't help you. Anybody bring their sin case to Christ and him say, I'm sorry, I can't help that? Nobody. There's no one that can't get in behind Christ and follow him. There's no one he doesn't heal. And we're thankful. Many not only followed because he healed them, many followed because of the miracles. Look at John chapter 6 and verse 2. In John chapter 6 and verse 2 it says, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Say, what was that? Not only healing, but how about some of the stories? Here we are in John chapter 6. Let's go back a few chapters. Let's go back to John chapter 2. Water into wine. Walking on water. Calming storms, touching people's eyes and they're healed. The miracles alone. There's people in this world that claim that they can do miracles having never done a miracle and they have followers. Could you imagine someone that doesn't claim anything, he just does it? Imagine the amount of people that were following him. Just the miracles alone. So why would so many follow Christ? I love this verse. Look at Matthew chapter 20 and verse 34. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 34, it says this, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Man, isn't it good to know that even in the midst of our blindness by the world, God can come by, touch our eyes, we receive sight, and now I can follow him. See, I can't follow someone I can't see. So what do I need? I need a touch. I need God coming by, Christ coming by, and touching my life. Hey, I'm here to report tonight that this morning, somehow, some way, Christ has touched all of us. He's opened up our eyes. If we have allowed him, he has worked a miracle in our life. He saved marriages. Say, well, I still have a cold. Your cold is, how about the sin sick? We've all been touched by Christ. I love this. He touched their eyes and now they can follow. Blind people don't follow anybody. They can't see him. But the Lord opened up our eyes to who he was. He touched them. We love that song, right? It was on a Monday, somebody touched. Why? Because now I can follow the Lord. Brother Calpe, now I can follow the Lord. But I can't follow somebody I can't see. Following Christ. What is that going to require of me, though? Here's where it gets a little tough. Everybody has great comforts. Great comforts in a routine. Any sort of change causes stress. And when we choose to follow Christ, well, there's going to come a change. Because our life before was going this direction. But we know that the ways of the world are contrary to the ways of God. So if I'm going to follow Christ, I'm going to have to make changes. And changes are difficult. That's the meat of Christianity. You know where we read in Hebrews where it talks about the difference between the milk of the word and the meat of the word? And we think, oh, prophecy is the meat of the word of God. That is not the meat of the word of God. You denying your flesh and following Christ is the meat of the word of God. We have made many a promises, tear-soaked vows to God right here. And then went home and did exactly the same. Why? Because change is difficult. The requirements for following Christ, we'll see. See, as a wicked person, I was heading in one direction, contrary to the ways of God. So is the Christian that is not following Christ. So how can I be a Christian and not follow Christ? That's a really good question. See, the Lord can save us, but I can still choose to live for myself. Unfortunately. Man, I wish he made me. I wish he made me serve him. I wish he made me love him. I wish he made me hate my sin. But every single day I have a choice to make. Am I going to follow me or am I going to follow Christ? We heard last night, families, husbands don't need, or wives don't need their husbands to be a better, just better. They need them to be deader, dying to self. For the Christian to follow Christ, a change is going to have to happen. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. In verse 18. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway, look at, left their nets and followed him. To follow Christ, they're going to have to, change something. You can't be a fisher of men and a fisher of fish. You either are going to follow me or you're going to stay right where you're at. So the question is, in your life, are you going to follow Christ or are you going to stay right where you're at? Well, can't I stay where I'm at and follow Christ? I don't see that in the scriptures. Anyone that was following of Christ was having to leave something behind. Say, what is that? Well, look at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. I'm not saying you quit your job, but I'm saying to follow Christ, there needs to be a change in your life. Mark chapter 1 and verse 18 says this, and straightway they forsook their nets. They forsook their way. They left it. And did what? And followed him. Could you imagine the fishermen, Peter and James, and here they are following Christ, dragging these enormous nets? That would slow them down. We have a kid's story that we read, Adam Raccoon. Anybody ever read those Adam Raccoon stories? Right. And he's trying to follow King Aaron. And he says, we're going on an adventure. He says, great. And little Adam Raccoon, he goes into his house and he brings all this stuff. The king says, what are you doing? He goes, this is my stuff. He goes, you don't need all but me. You know, we come to the Lord and say, here's all my stuff. And he says, you don't need all that. Leave the nets. Leave that. You can't follow me and bring all that. In Matthew chapter 9, look there. In Matthew chapter 9, in verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, look at this. I don't know the Hebrew. I don't know when he said this. What did it sound like? Maybe it's one word. Maybe in his own language, it's a whole sentence. But here it shows up in my Bible, two words. He doesn't introduce himself. He doesn't go through and explain all the things that are going to be happening. He doesn't lay it out. He just says, follow me. Follow me. Copy, what are you doing? You messing with the doors? All right, very good. Follow me. That's all he said. Follow me. So few words. Can I say he says the same thing to us this morning? But here's us, American Christian. But what about, or how's this going to go with, and I have questions about finance, health care. Tell me about the health care. Where are you at on this decision? And we want it all laid out. In 5 years, Christ, what's your 5-year plan for me? Well, it's really simple. It's the same as the 1-day plan. Following me. 10 years from now, Christ, where do you see me? Following me, he says. Always following him. Luke chapter 5 and verse 28. Not one of the disciples do I see that made such demands that we make upon God for an explanation. Not at all. Luke chapter 5 and verse 28, it says this. The call of Matthew, right? Those two words, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. To leave all. Close to, I think, 18, 19 years ago. If the fire alarm goes off, it's because they're working on the furnace. Just to let you know. Give them a heads up. All right. So be not alarmed. I think we're safe. It doesn't smell safe, but it... does anybody smell that? Okay, great. Okay. The ones that are closer to the vents. Oh, yeah. Wow, but... I have not felt heat like that come out of these things in a while. Okay, very good. So are you slightly distracted? Slightly. Because I hear a lot of stuff going on back here. Okay, so about 18, 19 years ago, Sarah, my wife, was living in Spain. And she, in her heart, made a decision to follow Christ. And you know what she had to do? She had to leave everything that she was part of. Say, is that what Christ... Physically, she had to do that. Why? Because she was around the wrong things, the wrong influences. And for her to follow Christ, and she knew, I can't keep doing what I'm doing and follow Christ. Say, does she know you're talking about this? Yes, I asked her before. But she had to move from Spain to the U.S. She had to get new friends, a new home, a new job, new possessions. And if you ask her, listen now, it was the, outside of getting saved, the best decision of her life. It saved her life. See, was that easy? Not at all. And continually, we need to make decisions to follow the Lord. To follow the Lord, you have to leave all. That's self-denial. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. The Bible says this. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and what? Follow me. How many verses have we seen where people have followed Christ? Tell me one that was allowed to bring their stuff. Remember the rich young ruler? Go, sell all that thou hast, and come, follow me. And how did he leave? Sorrowful. Why? Because he had much possessions. And he did not want to exchange his possessions for following Christ. So what's in your life that's hindering you from following the Lord? Oh, there's benefits to following Christ. We're no longer in darkness. We have the honor of the Father. It even says that God, look at Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And verse 27. The Bible says this, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto him, in Matthew 19, 28, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He says, your following of me does not go unnoticed. See, I'm missing out. You are gaining so much. You have nothing to lose. Say, what about my, in exchange for Christ? Oh, there's benefits. No longer walking in darkness. The honor of the Father. Can you imagine God being pleased with you? How could he be pleased with a sinner like me? Because you have chosen to follow his Son. And could you imagine getting into heaven? And the Lord saying, yeah, I noticed that you missed out. I know what you wanted to do, and I saw how you left that, and you did what I wanted to do. I am so happy with that. Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Say, is that how it's going to go? I don't know. I'm going to let God handle all the details, but I see the conversations he has. And I recognize that every single day I need to follow the Lord. It is a daily decision that does not last forever. And I want to show you this one last verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. There's a side benefit to following Christ. Say, what is that? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Be followers of me, as I also am of Christ. As we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an opportunity to influence those that are behind to also follow Christ. Paul says, hey, follow me. I know which way to go. Yesterday, we were going downtown, and we had a caravan of four cars. Boom, boom, boom. Who was in charge? Not in charge, but I was leading the group. Apple Maps. That's why. Telling us where to go. No one else had to worry. No one else had to look at their phone. No one else had to. No one was stopping and asking for directions. Why? Because we were following someone that knew where they were going. Hey, could you be a Christian that follows the Lord? Why? Because you'll help other people get in line. Follow me, he says, as I follow Christ. Let me ask you this, and I will close our Bibles. Say, how do I know if I'm a follower of Christ? Ask yourself this question. What would happen? What would happen today if people started following you? Would you draw them closer to Christ, or would your life pull people away? How do I know if I'm following Jesus? If people got behind you and did what you did, would they draw closer to Christ or further away? So this morning, ask yourself, as I read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, say, oh, that's Paul. How about you? Could you say, follow me as I follow Christ? Is Christ not worthy to be followed? Look at his teachings, his miracles, his healings. Look at what he's done personally in your life. And yet, in the morning, I have to decide, do I follow Jesus today? Is he worthy of my life? 100% times, yes, he is. The decisions to follow Christ won't always be easy decisions, but they are worthwhile decisions. Let's all stand. Maybe the Lord has been pulling at your heart. Maybe the Lord's doing something behind the scenes that maybe you haven't shared with anybody else. And God has been bidding you to come and make a deeper commitment to Him. Actually, maybe start following Him. Instead of living your life for you, hey, why don't you course correct and follow Christ? You know what it would take. You know what He's talking to you about. And you've just been wrestling. Wrestling with God. A battle in which you will never win. Do you understand that He will let go and say, fine, you can do what you want, but you'll be miserable. Joy is had in the Christian's life by obedience to God. Can I encourage you here this morning? Follow Christ. You can't go your way and His way at the same time. It's going to require a change. Are you willing to make that change? In just a moment, the music's going to play. We'll pray. The music will play. And if the Lord has spoken to your heart about something, would you come and talk to Him? Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. Thank You that You would even invite us to come follow You. Lord, I don't know what You see in us, but I do know that You love us. Thank You for Your teachings. Thank You for the touch in our life. Lord, I pray if someone here today, maybe over the last short period of time, has been struggling, been wrestling with You, whether to follow or not, Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?